You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from the Long Island Sound region. 29 demonstrators were arrested last night at SUNY Stony Brook. A tractor-trailer fire completely shut down I-95 in Norwalk this morning. Oyster Bay reached a settlement over land preservation with the federal government. And why IVF treatments are still out of reach for so many veterans. Those stories and more are ahead. I'm Sabrina Garone. Governor Hochul defended the use of New York Police Department forces to quell increasingly violent student protests at Columbia University and the City College of New York this week. Karen DeWitt has more.
The police action at the schools included the storming of a barricaded Hamilton Hall on the Columbia University campus. It resulted in around 300 arrests of students and other pro-Palestinian protesters. They were demonstrating against the war in Gaza and the school's financial ties to the State of Israel. Hochul, who praised the NYPD for acting professionally and fairly, says students have a First Amendment right to speak their minds. But she says when it devolves into violence, vandalism, destruction of property, and harassment, a line has been crossed.
There is no circumstance where violence or vandalism is tolerated or acceptable, whether you're on a college campus or walking the streets of New York. Targeting Jewish students for harassment or abuse because of the actions of the Israeli government is also anti-Semitic and wrong. Glorifying the acts of Hamas on October 7th is reprehensible.
Hochul says most of the students on the campuses just want to finish their studies, take their exams, and in the case of college seniors, have an in-person graduation.
We'll continue being there to support the students, the faculty, the staff, and support all New Yorkers who deserve to live in safety.
The governor also says she has no sympathy for students who might be expelled for illegal behavior while protesting. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt for the New York Public News Network.
And 29 demonstrators were arrested at a protest at Stony Brook last night, including students, faculty, and community members. School officials say three of the students face interim suspensions, and four individuals were also arrested at Yale, including two students. Yale President Peter Salovey is set to testify before a U.S. House committee on anti-Semitism on campus later this month. A tractor-trailer fire completely shut down I-95 in Norwalk, blocking morning rush hour traffic and causing huge backups on all routes from Connecticut to New York City. WSHU's Davis Donovan reports.
Officials say at about 5:30 a.m., two tractor-trailers and another vehicle were involved in the crash that caused the fire between exits 15 and 16. Video posted to social media showed firefighters battling the blaze underneath an overpass. No serious injuries were reported. The state is in talks with U.S. Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg and says it will examine the bridge for possible structural damage. Officials say one truck was carrying 8,500 gallons of gasoline. They say some of the gasoline has spilled into the Norwalk River, which could cause environmental issues. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
And Norwalk fire officials say they hope that they can open the highway in the next 2 days by taking down the Fairfield Avenue overpass. U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand of New York says a bill she's co-sponsored will crack down on overdose deaths due to fentanyl, an opioid more powerful than heroin. The law will give the federal government broad powers to punish international drug cartels for making and distributing fentanyl. Gillibrand says most of the illegal fentanyl is made in Mexico using Chinese chemicals.
It will declare that the international trafficking of fentanyl is a national emergency and require President Biden to sanction key members of the transnational criminal organizations.
Opioids, including fentanyl, kill hundreds of Long Islanders every year. The bill passed in the House and Senate, and President Biden is expected to sign it. The VA has expanded access to fertility treatments, but it's still out of reach for some. That story is ahead. First, a message from our supporter.
Local support comes from Hartford HealthCare, the only health system in the Northeast, with all its hospitals receiving A grades for safety from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent safety watchdog group. HartfordHealthcare.org.
Six Connecticut manufacturers have been chosen for a $100,000 grant from the state. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports the grants will support new technology like 3D printers.
The grants are from the state's Manufacturing Innovation Fund. They will support the improvement or purchase of technology that drives innovation, like 3D metal and plastic printers that build functional parts. The six companies have less than 300 employees each. They're located in Windsor, Portland, Morris, Farmington, Deep River, and Shelton. The companies will match the grants with funding of their own to support the technology improvements. Previous winners say the grant helped them to cut lead times during the in-house tooling and prototyping process. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
A Yale project will offer financial guidance to nearly 240 New Haven residents transitioning out of prison. The Recovery Finance Project aims to reduce poverty by setting up participants with coaching, peer mentorship, and policy reform training. You know that abandoned travel center on the Southern State Parkway near Valley Stream? Well, it's finally getting demolished after sitting empty since 2017. State park officials say they'll let the area return to nature. The facility will be replaced with a new welcome center on the LIE, along with the launch of a visitor attractions mobile app. The town of Oyster Bay has reached a settlement with the federal government in a lawsuit over the preservation of its natural wildlife refuge. WSHU's Shelley Hassman-Kadish reports.
Under the agreement, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will evaluate whether industrial shellfish dredging hinders the protection of the refuge. The federal government has 2 years to issue a decision that could lead to placing limits on the dredging or make no changes. Newsday reports the lawsuit brought last year by the North Oyster Bay Baymen's Association and the Center for Food Safety alleges the industrial harvesting hurts aquatic ecosystems and traditional harvesters. The refuge includes bay, salt marsh, and freshwater wetlands, and is home to migrating water birds. Shelley Hassman-Kadish, WSHU News.
The Department of Veterans Affairs has expanded access to fertility treatments, reversing its decades-old policy that blocked in vitro fertilization for unmarried, single, or LGBTQ veterans. But IVF is still out of reach for many other veterans due to the requirement that they prove their infertility was caused by their military service. WSHU's Desiree Diorio reports.
Before her son was born, Amber Bowman went to three fertility clinics, took hormones for 5 years, met with specialists, and tried a variety of treatments.
It got to the point where, like, my hair was starting to fall out, and I was just, it was just really hard on my body to continuing to do this.
But Bowman, a Marine Corps veteran, and her partner, Peter Folsom, were limited in the kinds of fertility treatments they could use. The VA wouldn't pay for the treatment their doctors recommended.
Every step of the way, my doctors were like, we suggest IVF. You should be doing IVF. And I was like, okay, but that's not covered.
That's because she and her partner of almost a decade never formally tied the knot. Under the old rules, the VA excluded veterans from in vitro fertilization if they were unmarried or LGBTQ. Because IVF would cost them more than $20,000, Bowman decided to stick with hormone therapy, despite the toll it was taking on her body. That's when she got a surprise.
We got the hormones in the mail. I took a month off because obviously those hormones were horrific. So I was like, I just need a month to not be on them. And that's when we got pregnant.
Her son is now 2 months old and she wants to get pregnant again. Yet, even though the VA has reversed its rule and now allows unmarried and LGBTQ veterans to access IVF treatment, Bowman and Folsom have hit another obstacle. The VA will only pay for IVF if a veteran's fertility problems are from a service-related injury. In Bowman's case, doctors can't determine the cause.
They could not tell me why I wasn't getting pregnant, what was wrong. They couldn't pinpoint anything.
The National Organization for Women has sued the VA in federal court to remove the restrictions. Grace Sullivan is with the Reproductive Rights and Justice Project at Yale University Law School. She represents Now NYC.
Almost all of the members of Now NYC who were discussed in our complaint and amended complaint are harmed by the service connection piece. Some members were previously excluded because they were in a same-sex relationship or were unmarried, and now they're still excluded because even though those barriers have been removed, they still can't prove they have a service-connected disability.
Sullivan called the service connection requirement insurmountable.
15% or more of infertility is unexplainable, not to mention the fact that much infertility is caused by things that are certainly related to service, like age, when you're able to start having a family after getting out after many years of service, but it's not necessarily going to be something that a doctor will call service-connected for infertility.
A 2018 survey by the Service Women's Action Network found female service members grappled with infertility at more than four times the national average. But the research is scarce on why. Amber Bowman, the Marine vet, says she's grateful for the VA's efforts to help her conceive, but still wishes she had access to IVF.
Obviously, I'm really happy that they removed that marriage requirement because it did feel like if for some reason we did find a loophole to qualify for IVF, that we were going to be forced to get married if we wanted to use it.
Bowman says she and her partner have decided they'll keep trying to get pregnant for two more years. By that time, she'll be 38 and hopes they'll be a family of four. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio, stream online at WSHU.org, or use our WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. And WSHU is in the middle of its spring fundraising drive, so it's a great time to donate to your favorite local NPR station. And when you give a one-time gift or monthly sustaining gift today, only May 2nd, you'll be entered to win two tickets to see the Yankees play the Orioles on June 20th. The seats are in the Legends section right behind home plate, and included is unlimited food and soft drinks. Visit our website or give us a call at 800-777-9748. I'm Sabrina Garone. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great rest of your evening. I'll talk to you tomorrow.